Folks, there are only 4 weeks left in 2013, and we're $64,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You could also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
When we realize that everything we've got, every breath we take, is an unmerited gift from a lavishly loving God, that prompts us literally to fall to our knees and to say thank you.
No matter what our differences, we're all part of one American family. We are one nation under God. That core tenet of our American experience has guided us from the earliest days of our founding, and it will guide us to a future that's even brighter than today.
Prayer is for prayer. It's not for evangelism. It's not for getting the warm fuzzies. It's not for community cohesion. Prayer is for prayer.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
We've talked a lot about how important Sunday morning is. That's been a subject that kind of runs, a theme that runs through Issues Etc. from beginning to end, that your life really does begin there. On the Lord's Day in the Lord's house, around the Lord's table, with the Lord's gifts, His Word. That's where the Christian lives from. But that's not where the Christian lives all the time, is it? Now, there is a very popular kind of, what would we call it? Some of even called it a new monasticism, where Christians believe that what happens on Sunday morning is not only the most important thing, it's the only important thing, and everything else is just the banal details of our lives that we have to do to earn a living. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the second hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to conclude our series on the Christ-centered life. We're going to talk about work, about vocation. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest a little bit later. We're going to take apart the moral realism and relativism of the recently ended award-winning television series Breaking Bad. Bob Perry will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or leave a question or a comment on the moral relativism and realism of the Breaking Bad television series for Bob Perry in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Heath Curtis is a regular guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of last month's Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Heath, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
How do you deal with, how do you respond to this? That, you know, Sunday morning is so important. Really, it's the only important thing in my life. And what I do the rest of the week, whether it's at work or at home, really is the banal details of life. And I go to work just to bring home that paycheck.
Yeah, that's a very truncated way of looking at the world. And what is even worse is in the next step, and people will begin to, so the only important thing is church. So therefore, I should be doing more and more and more at church. And so everything's got to be have a Christian thing. So I can't enjoy, you know, music. I can only enjoy Christian music. And I can't, I can't go to a movie. I have to go to a Christian movie. I can't, I can't even go to a Halloween party. I have to have trunk or treat. You know, it's my only option. And that is a new monasticism. Because what the monks believed was that everything in this world was a distraction from spiritual realities. And the most important thing you could do is withdraw from the distractions and fill your life with the truly religiously important thing. And Luther's response to that, of course, is in trying to do that, you're actually running away from your God-given duties in life, which are spiritual callings. And this is the great Lutheran doctrine of vocation, which frees us to see our whole life as a gift from God, everything we do having a purpose from God, You know, Luther's doctrine of vocation is really the original purpose-driven life, that everything in my life is holy ground because God has given me these things to do, responsibilities to fulfill, duties to carry out, people to care for, and so my whole life is one of religious devotion, but not of, you know, made up religious devotion.
Key to this idea for understanding this, and we've found this with our listeners so many times, to be a very liberating idea once they catch it, is the idea of the neighbor. How would you explain that in biblical, in reformational terms?
Right. Well, it's actually great to start with English grammar. The word neighbor is Old English, the nigh bor, the farmer next to you, the farmer nigh you, the person whom God has literally placed next to you. And you can think of your vocations, your callings from God, in these concentric circles of neighborliness. So you are literally called to serve the people in your family. Those are your nearest neighbors. And so, you know, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, if you won't care for your own family, this is in Timothy, if you won't care for the members of your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever. So you have a responsibility, a duty to the people in your family. Are you a husband? Are you a father? Are you a mother? Are you a wife? Are you a child? Are you an only child with elderly parents? Are you whatever the case may be. So that's the first concentric circle. Then going out from there in neighborliness, you have the people of your family in the church. You have a calling in church. That doesn't mean everybody's a minister. It means exactly the opposite. The minister is called to be a minister. You're called to be a baptized Christian, and that gives you each very different duties, very different responsibilities, ways to serve your neighbor in the church. And then the most outer ring is your life in society. I mean, we often talk about it as our life in work. I prefer to talk about it as in society at large, because this encompasses more than just your job, if you work inside or outside the home. This is also your life just simply among your neighbors as a literal neighbor, you know, the guy you share a back fence with, the hobbies that you have. Do you belong to clubs? Do you engage in competitive events? Do you go down to the coffee shop on Monday morning and have coffee with the guys? Whatever the case may be. So you have these three concentric circles of responsibility, of gifts from God, of people that God has placed in your way to serve. And this idea protects us, again, from being super religious, from being more religious than God. And so, we don't need to, I don't want to pick on this too hard, but I'll just try to gently maybe get people to think about, where did the idea of a mission trip come from? You know, I've gone on a mission trip. I learned a lot. I had a good time. I hope I did something helpful for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Haiti. It was a nice mission trip. At the same time, if that's the only way we're thinking about serving society or serving the world, it would be totally missing the point, because there I would be literally stepping over my neighbor to go help somebody halfway around the world who's literally not my neighbor. He's not the guy next to me. He's not the guy that God has actually placed in my life. And, of course, it's always harder to deal with the people that are actually close to you. It's always harder to serve the people. You can't pick your family. You can't really pick the people who go to church with you. You can't pick the guy who lives in your backyard. Those are the people who are difficult to serve. Those are the people that God has actually placed in your life.
There are several insights that came from Dr. Jean Edward Veith, who's done quite a bit of writing and talking about this concept of vocation or of work that we have been discussing here, Pastor Curtis, and two of them that I want your thoughts on. The first one is his insight that it's within the framework of our particular vocations that we ought to examine our rebellion against God, our sin against God and man. That's the first of his insights. What do you make of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's that example I used of stepping over the neighbor to to serve someone far away that God has actually not placed in your life. And it is indeed the same criticism that Luther had of monasticism. And the other way he talked about it is self-made works or self-chosen works. I was preparing for Sunday this past week and looking over Luther's sermon for the first Sunday in Advent. And he has this great, you know, as only Luther can, this great tirade. And he was saying, you know, you'll come in here and you get all excited about giving us money for a new organ with 14 stops, and you'll go on a pilgrimage, or you'll, you know, build this beautiful church. Or, what are you doing to help me keep body and soul together and care for my wife and children? You know, I can't eat an organ. And it's just this long tirade. But it's exactly that thing. It is always easier, you know, and pastors can attest to this, it's always easier to get people to support some crazy big endeavor at church. It's often very hard to get people to simply support the ministry, just support Word and Sacrament Ministry. Because Word and Sacrament Ministry, how boring. Well, and we can talk about that also in our other vocations. Not only our vocation in the church, it's easier to get really excited about a big vacation you're going to take on your family on, and this is going to, I'm going to create memories for my family, and this is going to be this wonderful thing, and we'll spend months planning it and saving up for it, and we tell ourselves, you know, this is something we're really doing to serve our family, to create memories, to have a good time. But then how much effort do we put in, half that kind of effort in catechizing our children, getting them to know the Christian faith? Do we take joy in, as St. Paul says, making some return to our parents in their old age for what they have given us? The big, flashy, made-up work, we always love to choose those because the work that God has given us is always more important and therefore always more difficult.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a second insight gleaned from Dr. Gene Edward Veith on the issue of vocation. That is, it's also where God places upon us for life our crosses. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're concluding our series on the Christ-centered life, talking about your work. Stay tuned.
They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're going to have to serve somebody.
Folks, there are only 4 weeks left in 2013, and we're $64,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at IssuesETC.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about your work, the conclusion of our series with Pastor Heath Curtis on the Christ-centered life. Pastor Curtis is author of last month's Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life, that is currently on sale for $5 from Concordia Publishing House. Best $5 you'll ever spend. The more I get into this book, the more I realize that it is, in a lot of ways, kind of that primer on what the shape, the warp of the wolf of the Christian life looks like. And it's not complicated. It's not full of a bunch of house rules or to-dos or not-to-dos. It's simply the basic anatomy of the Christian life. It is your life around God's word and sacraments, your life of private study of his word or family study of his word. It is your life where you find yourself in your vocation. It is your life of prayer. And that's all it is. The book is called Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life, from Pastor Heath Curtis, our guest. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. Remember, on sale for $5, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The other insight that I was mindful of in Dr. Jean Edward Veith's writings on vocation, he says that it is in your vocations, yet those particular stations in life where God places you, with neighbors all around, where he also puts on you your crosses. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, exactly. That's the flip side of what I was saying before. That the work that God has given you to do in each of these three areas, in your family, in your church, and society, it's very important work. And since it's important, of course it's hard. Because, you know, nothing really, really important is easy. And so we need to receive and accept the crosses that God would lay on us. Because, you know, Jesus, when he sums up, you know, it's clear from the Gospels, I think, that Jesus kind of had a stump speech. You know, he had a sermon that he preached in many different locations, you know, a summary of his teaching or an introduction to his teaching in Matthew, because in Matthew we get one version of it, the Sermon on the Mount. He specifically says Jesus is preaching on a mountain. And then in Luke we get what is very clearly the same speech, but it's the Sermon on the Plain. You know, Luke makes it very clear that Jesus was preaching not on a mountain. And yet they're subtly different in the arrangement of the material and how Jesus was speaking. It's you know, a stump speech. Well, how does Jesus end his stump speech, his set sermon to introduce people to his teaching? At the end of Matthew 7, he says, you know, so the man who hears my word and doesn't keep it, I'm going to liken him to a man who built his house on the sand. You know, winds came, rains fell, floods rose. Great was the fall of it. But the other guy, the guy who keeps Jesus' word, is the man who builds his house on the rock. He also has the floods rise and the rain fall and the wind blow. And so you're going to have a cross. This world is a broken down place. There's going to be suffering and heartache and sorrow. And so the question is, what suffering and heartache and sorrow do you want? Do you want that which God is going to give you and place into your life for his purposes, or will you go and choose your own cross? Because there is no third option. There's not, well, I don't want any crosses. I don't want any suffering. No, it's going to happen to you either way. So wouldn't you rather prefer the cross that God has planned for you? And so we look at our lives, and we should not run away from our vocation. And the classic example, the easy example is the husband who runs out on his wife and family with another woman, or vice versa. You know, it's hard to be married. It's hard to raise a family. We're having problems in our marriage. And then here's this temptation. Here's a person who is fun to hang around with, makes you feel alive and young again, and you're in love with this person. I'm going to go out. Well, just ask anybody who's started an adulterous relationship how that ends up. You know, there's going to be a lot of cross in that, but it's going to be a cross that you chose by running out on the responsibilities and duties that God gave you, and that just simply cannot be blessed. And, you know, that's an extreme example. Every day we're presented with choices to, you know, shirk our duties, turn away from what God has given us because we're trying to avoid, you know, the suffering that we see in this path. But we have to remember that even our crosses in Christ are going to be blessings for us. You know, the Jesus promises Peter, for example, in Matthew 19, you know, Peter's just kind of at the end of his rope, and in exasperation he says to Jesus, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus doesn't respond in anger. He doesn't just tell Peter, hey, you've only done your duty. He responds to him in kindness and says, you know, Peter, it's going to be worth it. You know, nobody who's given something up for me in this life, I'm not going to forget that. What you're doing in the kingdom, I remember that, and I'm going to bless you for it. So, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone. Continue to fulfill these callings that I've given you to fulfill, and I will take care of you. You know, God gives us these roles to fulfill for our good and for the good of those around us, and that it takes faith to believe that, because very often it seems like too much to bear.
What do you say to someone who says, I'm racking my brain here, Pastor, I don't have a vocation that I can think of?
Yeah, I tell them, well, you probably think vocation therefore means job. Yeah, I think that the people that I talk to the most about vocation, and the people who most often give me that response, are people who are in nursing homes. You know, a big part of a pastor's week is visiting the sick and shut in, and so this is actually a very common theme in the pastoral ministry, is showing people that you have a calling right where you are. And so again, take this extreme example of a person who's debilitated because of old age, or they've become sick, and there's no getting better. And they say things like, "I feel useless. I can't do anything. Why am I still here?" And we talk a lot about crosses and vocations. Now, the vocation of that person—it's going to depend on the person. Maybe what God is calling for you to do for your family right now is to show them how to bear a cross with dignity and grace. That's what you're still here for. Or you are here to demonstrate patience to your children and grandchildren. You're here to show them what Christian faith looks like in times of adversity. Or you're here, and God has given you all this time for you to be by yourself so that you can pray for your family. That's why God is keeping you around, et cetera. And so that conversation is probably something that that a pastor has at least once a month with somebody, because we have to learn to see everything in our life as a gift of God, and as a gift of God with purpose and with blessing and with duties and responsibilities for us to fulfill.
Finally here, with about a minute or so, talk about how it is that God graciously works through the individual vocation, the ordinary everyday stuff of our vocations, not to reverse the curse that was first laid on Adam and Eve on account of their sin. That is only done through Christ's work. But he does use our work to, for lack of a better word, to mitigate the curse for our neighbor. Talk about that, if you would.
Right. The way I talk about it with catechism kids is, what would you say to somebody who is they just become a Christian, and you go to their house and you ask them, "Hey, you got anything to eat?" And they say, "Well, look in the cupboard," and they got nothing to eat. And you say to them, "There's nothing in your kitchen. What have you been eating?" And he says, "Oh, I just became a Christian. I don't have to go to the grocery store anymore because every day I pray, 'Give us this day our daily bread.' So I'm waiting for God to deliver it." That's not how it works. God fulfills the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," through farmers and truck drivers and grocery stores and a boss to pay you a wage and so forth and so on. And so God has arranged the world such that you cannot be useless. Because if you try to be useless, you'll just die of starvation. You are doing something that is useful to someone. And so God has made the world to work this way. If you are a worthless husband, your life is going to be miserable because your wife and kids will hate you. God has made it so that in each one of these areas, in the home, in the church, in society at large, the world is always pushing you back into your vocation. So if you start to be a rotten child to your parents, things are going to go badly for you, and that'll try to push you back into your vocation, because this is how God has made us each serve one another. And that, again, this then ties into the bigger topic of sanctification, because what is sanctification? Being made holy, being made more like God. What is God like? He's giving, he's loving, he's blessing of all of us. And so in our vocations, we're called to be God-like, blessing, causing kindness and generosity and humility goes out from us to bless others. And when we don't do that, God has arranged the world to push us back on track through hardship.
With only 30 seconds here, tie this all together, if you would. Our life around God's Word and sacraments, our life in His Word, the life of prayer, the life that we live 7 days a week. How is it all comprehended under the gospel of Jesus Christ? About 30 seconds.
You go to church to get Jesus put into you, to get the Word of God poured into your ears and into your heart. And then in your daily life, that comes with you, so that you are in the Word in your daily life, and you are speaking God's Word back to Him. So the Word of Christ dwells in you richly and overflows in your prayers, and then in your actions to others. You are, as Luther said about our vocation, a mask of God to bless others. And then in each week, we continually live that cycle. We end up back in the church to be refilled, and the Word of God dwells in us richly and grows and goes out of us in prayer and in service to others. It is this constant feedback loop of Christ dwelling in us richly through His Word and sacrament, and that welling up in us and flowing out to others.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of last month's Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, 5 Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Heath, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you have enjoyed our series on the Christ-centered life, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. For any sized year-end donation, we will send you a CD of sermons that I've preached on the birth of Christ and another on the conversion of St. Paul. You can make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online gift at our website, issuesetc.org. We are currently $63,000 short of making budget. Please keep us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. When we come back, we're going to talk about the series recently concluded that had so many just latched to their televisions every week watching a tragic decline of one man into his own moral morass, Breaking Bad. We'll talk about the moral realism and relativism of that TV show, Breaking Bad. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.